Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Ezekiel chapter 36. Are you there? Let me start reading from verse 25. Ezekiel 36 from verse 25. The Bible says, then I still see some Bibles turning. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament, chapter 36. I'm reading from verse 25. Are we there? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26 is what we're looking for. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Now, some years ago, I think it must have been around 2018 or so, a lot of things were happening. 2017, 2018, I had just taken my wife. We had just recently gotten married. And things were happening around that year. These things on the highway, e-tolls, they were starting to operate in the highways, and so many things were happening. And when I was calculating my budget, I was afraid. Hallelujah. When I was checking how are we going to live, my wife and I had just moved to another place. We are paying now rent that I wasn't paying before, e-tolls and this and that. And also at work, I was having a lot of issues. Do you understand? I was given another project which was very difficult for me, and the client was giving me a lot of problems. And I remember crying out to God, because those days it was difficult for me to even wake up every day. Because when I think about the problems, it was very tough. And one day, as I was getting ready to go to work, as I was crying out to God in my heart, the Lord said to me, your biggest problem is your attitude. Someone say attitude. The Lord said, if you change your attitude, all of a sudden things will start going well in your life. When God speaks, you have to say amen. It means that I had an attitude problem that I didn't know I had. Then I realized that my problem was I'm only seeing the problems. And I have moved my eyes from my God, and I'm only seeing the problems. So I took the decision that every morning I will wake up, and I will wake up knowing that I'm going to overcome. I'm going to have victory over my situation. I'm going to have victory over every problem. I changed my attitude. When my attitude changed, all of a sudden, without any extra praying, without any extra fasting, just a change of attitude, my problems started disappearing without me noticing. I listen to me. So the power of having a healthy countenance is the ability to have a good attitude at all times. A good attitude, a positive attitude at all times. Are you listening to me, somebody? Now let's study some lives of some people so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis 25, and we are reading from verse 28. Now, we are going to study the life of Jacob for a few moments. And I want you to see the power of having a healthy countenance. Genesis chapter 25, verse 28. Let's start from verse 27. The Bible says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. In verse 28, the Bible says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Hallelujah. Now, what I want you to notice from what we've read here is that Jacob grew up in a family where he had an older brother, Esau. And Esau was the obvious favorite in the family. Someone say obvious. Hey! It was so clear that it is written in scripture. And Esau and Isaac loved Esau. So he grew up in a family where he knew that I'm not the favorite. That alone has the potential to cause your countenance to fall. That alone has the potential to cause you to be offended. Where you notice that where I live, I'm not the favorite. I'm always number two. So Jacob grew through his youth, through his life, till he became a man. He knew that his brother was more favored than himself. Are you listening to me? But with all this, we never saw one scripture where the Bible says, and Jacob's countenance fell. It never fell. Even though, brother, don't play and stop. Stay in the spirit. What was I saying? His countenance never fell. Never ever fell. Hallelujah. Many people, you know, if I can just say, Lerato, come and sit on this chair. Someone will say, but I've been coming to church. And you find that, you know, maybe I'm noticing that there's raindrops that are falling and I'm saying, come and sit here. But you are seeing that, Pastor likes Lerato more than on all of us. All of a sudden, the attitude changes. These things happen in the church. These things happen in the workplace. These things happen at home. These things happen anywhere. So Jacob grew in such an environment, but the Bible doesn't tell us that his countenance fell. Are we still together? So Jacob was not his father's favorite. Secondly, he was hated by his brother. Come with me to chapter 27 of Genesis. Chapter 27 and verse 41. Genesis 27 and 41. Are we there? And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So his only brother, he didn't have five. His only brother hated him to the point that he was planning. He didn't want to kill his brother because his father was very old and could die anytime. So he said, I'll wait till my father dies. Afterwards, Jacob will see who I am. I will kill him. So he grew up in an environment where he knew he wasn't his father's favorite. He grew up in an environment where his own brother didn't like him and hated him and was plotting against him. But nowhere did we see that the Bible says that Jacob's countenance fell. We don't see Jacob falling into depression. We don't see Jacob making horrible mistakes, even though he grew up in such an environment. Are we still together, somebody? If that was not all, if that was You know, you thought that was difficult. The Bible tells us that Jacob had no special skills, no job. He was just an ordinary man. Let's go back to chapter 25, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 27. Genesis 25, verse 27. Are we there? And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. In other words, a skilled hunter. And my Bible says, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. A plain man. He wasn't an architect. He wasn't a... He was just a... plain means plain. Nothing to see. Lipopotanala mudim. Hallelujah. So his brother was doing well in life. Became a hunter, was respected in the area. His father loved him. Esau was loved because of his hunting skills. And Jacob was just an ordinary man, dwelling in the tents. Just when Esau was going to go and hunt, Jacob was just sitting at home. Hallelujah. Hey, many of us by now, we would be very, very offended by God. But Jacob, the Bible doesn't tell us that his countenance fell. Jacob was also forced to go on exile, to become a fugitive. In other words, he was forced away from his home. He was forced away from his family. He was forced to be removed from everything he knew and everything he loved. Come to chapter 27, verse 42, quickly. Genesis 27, verse 42. In fact, let's start from verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee," the word flee means run away. "Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." Hallelujah. So when you read on, you see that Jacob had to run away from home, because what had happened is that Esau, when he noticed that he's living his last, not Esau, Isaac, when he noticed that he's living his last days on the earth, which was their father, he wanted to bless Esau and through prayer release a spiritual blessing on Esau. Are we still together? And so when Jacob's mother heard what the father was planning, they tricked the father and he came and made himself as though he was Esau. And Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau. So when Esau found out, he wanted to kill his brother. And because of this, Jacob had to run away from home. Now, exile is not a nice thing, Bazalwan. Because exile is not that you are planning, next year I want to move to another country. Exile is like you leave everything and you run. So Jacob had nothing to his name, and he was now running away from everything he knew. Imagine how that is. You don't have a house, you don't have a car, you don't have a job, you don't have nothing. And you are going to a people you don't know and you have nothing. Now many people by this time, they would have been offended by God. Some might have said there is no God. But what I love about Jacob, with all these things that he's going through, not one time did he point at God. Not one time did his attitude change. Not one time was he depressed. Not one time was he sad. And that's the power. So the power of having a healthy attitude, or the power of having a healthy countenance, is the ability to continue living. And that's the grace that people who have a good attitude have. It may be tough. Things may not be going well at school. Things may not be going well concerning my financial life. Things may not be going well concerning my marriage. But those who have a good attitude, they keep moving forward. They keep pressing on. They keep moving to the direction where they know they will meet their destiny. Your amens are not blessing me. One thing I have learned about life is that if you keep moving, it will get better. If you keep moving, it will get better. Amen. If you keep moving on, it will get better. Amen. And that's what I learned about Jacob. He didn't allow the situations to cause him to sulk. To be blaming people. My father didn't like me. My this. He just kept moving on. One time as he was on exile, as he was running away from home, he found some people giving water to sheep. And when he got there, Rachel came to also water the sheep of his father so that they could drink. When Jacob saw Rachel, he said, "Ngibona yini Nkosi yami." He didn't want to say, "Sister, what's your name?" The Bible says he went and kissed the young girl. Afterwards, him and Rachel went to his father's house. And to cut the long story short, the man now wanted to marry the woman. Now think about him. He's in exile. He has nothing to his name. He has no skill. He cannot go looking for work. He's a nobody. He's a zero. But he's not focusing on that. He's just got a positive attitude. He said, "This woman, I like her. I'm marrying her. I don't care what I don't have. I don't care what I have. I have the power of a healthy countenance." Some people, they can't marry because they are counting Amasend. 250. They're counting. Jacob forgot to count. He forgot to count. He said, "I love this girl. I love this girl." And he went to the father and he said, "Mister, what can I do for this girl?" And the father said, "Look, serve me for 7 years and she'll be yours." The Bible says Jacob was so in love with Rachel that the 7 years were like 5 minutes. He didn't even feel that it was 7 years. Hey! Remember, to some people, they are not working. And you always like, "Ish, I don't have clothes for work. I don't have..." Stop thinking about these things. Arise with the power of a healthy countenance, a good attitude. And arise and go in this life with the ability to conquer. With the mind to conquer. I listen to what I'm saying. Jacob didn't focus on all his problems. If he focused on his problems, we would not be talking about him today. How many years ago was Jacob alive? But we are still learning from his life. It is because, you know, one day, one of my friends was working for my pastor. My pastor used to have a shop in Tswana University of Technology in Acadia. He used to sell food there. He had a canteen. So my friend went to work for my pastor. And there was a lady who was also working there. And one day I went to visit them just to check what's going on and just to be there. And this friend of mine came to me and said, "My friend, this woman, and pointed at the lady, "this woman has the demon of magnifying problems. I've never had such a demon before." But he said, "This woman has the demon of magnifying problems." There are people who have the demon of magnifying problems. You are talking with your wife, you are talking with whoever, your partner, and you are planning, you know, we're going to, and it's like, but can it work? But before you know it, you are weak. You don't have the energy to continue doing what you are planning to do. So there are people who only focus on the wrong things. Why something cannot work. But when you have a healthy attitude, you only see why it can work. It can work. It can work. Somebody say, it can work. Somebody say, I see it working for my good. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord. Now when Jacob thought that everything was starting to go well, he worked for 7 years. And he was ready to have the woman whom he loves. He was ready to call her my wife. The father-in-law organized that the wedding be at night. I don't know why. Then Jacob was so happy that he's going to marry his wife. You see, when people marry, they wear a veil, do you see? So that the veil was never removed from Rachel. And they married. Do you, Rachel, take Jacob to be your husband? And she said, I do. Do you, Jacob, take Rachel? And he said, I do. And then the pastor said, from today I pronounce you husband and wife. Oh, Jacob was so happy. When he got home, now he removed the veil. And he realized, hey, it's not Rachel, but it's Leah. When he went to his father-in-law and said, hey, I said I'm working for Rachel, not for Leah. His father-in-law said, here things don't work like that. The younger one cannot marry before the older one. So you have to take the firstborn first. Then work for me another 7 years for the secondborn. By now, somebody's countenance would have fallen. But God, I never did anything wrong. Why are these things happening to me? But Jacob's attitude never went down. He continued. He worked for another 7 years for Rachel. And eventually, he married the woman whom he loved. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the power of a good attitude. You keep moving on. I say, you keep moving on. You keep moving on. Did you fail at school? So what? Someone say, so what? You keep moving on. Mom Ruthie told me of a lady who did grade 11 seven times. Seven is the number of completion. She mastered grade 11. She moved on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some people, when they get hurt by a man, when they get hurt by a woman, their whole attitude. Men are dogs. Women are snakes. I haven't seen that scripture. Have you seen it in the Bible? Men are dogs. I've not seen it. Women are snakes. It's not in my Bible. They train their children. Wanaka, don't trust men. Men are dogs. He's zinja. And so you realize someone growing up, they can never have a healthy relationship because they grew up in an environment where men are dogs. Women are snakes. With such a person, they will never trust. Never. But when you have a healthy attitude, even if 5 women have hurt you, when you marry, you will love your wife, you will take care of your wife, you will not always be thinking that, where is she? What is she doing? Let me call her. Someone say healthy attitude. Yeah. is the ability to keep living, to keep moving on, to keep pressing forward. When you go through the roadblocks and the stumbling blocks of life, they don't stop you. You keep moving forward. 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 Never stop. Tell your neighbor that it will get better. It will. It will. I don't care how long it takes, but you only realize it if you have a good attitude. That's the only way you will see that God is still with you. Are you listening to me, somebody? Now Jacob has the wife that he loves, and you thought that it will be happily ever after. But as he was sitting there, he realizes, now I've got two wives and I've got so many children. I think he had about 12 sons and a daughter. So now he started having the desire that I need to leave my father-in-law's home so that I can start building my own home for my wife and children. So he told his father-in-law, I have to leave. And his father-in-law, he said, no, Mr. Jacob, ever since you came here, I realized that all my things are going well. This is the power of a healthy attitude. That even if you have nothing, but he was carrying the blessing of the Lord. And Laban noticed it and he said, this man, there's something about him. So he struck a deal with his father-in-law. So his father-in-law had a lot of livestock, sheep, cows, whatever. So Jacob said to his father-in-law, okay, you've got these sheep. Some of the sheep are all white and some of the sheep are spotted. And Jacob said, give me the spotted sheep. Most of the time, it is rare to find spotted sheep. Most of them are white. So Jacob was saying, give me the few ones and you keep all the other ones. Laban took all his sheep and went and hid them so that Jacob cannot pick even one spotted one. After working for this guy for 14 years, he was cheating him again. But even though this was happening, Jacob never once cried out to God, never once had a fallen countenance, never once was depressed. So he came up with a way. He became such a skillful headsman that he knew that if the sheep stay here, they will give birth to spotted sheep. I don't even know how he did that. And the spotted sheep started growing and started growing. And the numbers started growing and multiplying and multiplying. You cannot keep down a person who has a good attitude. No matter how much you cheat them, no matter what you do to them, as long as they wake up and say, today is my day, today I'm going to conquer, today I have victory, today I have dominion, you can never keep them down. You can't. It's impossible. It is the power of a good and healthy attitude. You can't keep them down. And I've seen many of them in the Bible. David was one of them. David had about 7 or 8 brothers. And when Samuel came to the home, Samuel said that God has chosen a king from this house. So David's father brought all his sons. And when the prophet saw the firstborn, he said, this must be the king, because he had 8 pecs like Shaka Zulu. And he had biceps When Samuel saw him, he said, this must be the king. Then God said, Mr. Samuel, please. I don't look at the outside. I look at the heart. And God told him, I don't see my king here. Now, the father had even forgotten that he had another son. He said, see, guys, Tyler Sailor, come on, beat him. They even forgotten about him. Not once did he even think that it could have been David. It didn't even come to his mind. that Samuel had to even ask him and say, do you have another son except this? Then he said, oh yeah, there's that Smolanyana fool that is taking care of the sheep. Yeah, Limabatanyan. You see, a man with a powerful attitude, Samuel said, we will not sit down until David comes here. Can you imagine? So David came. The Bible says he was smelling like sheep. Smelling like the sun. Just a small young boy. When he came here, God said to Samuel, that's my king. David was never depressed or saddened by the fact that he was the least in his home. His countenance never fell. And because he had such a strong attitude, nothing that happened to him ever took him down. He just kept moving forward and kept pressing on and kept pressing on. And if you just keep pressing on, your time will come. And when your time comes, the Bible says, Samuel said, we will not sit down until he comes. We will not sit down until he comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, have you seen the book of Psalms? Somebody just go to the book of Psalms quickly. Oh, go to your Bible, to the book of Psalms quickly. And go to the last chapter. I want you to find the last chapter in the book of Psalms. What is the last chapter? It's chapter what? 150. Most books in the Bible end at chapter 20 something, chapter 15, chapter. This one ends at chapter 150. Now the book of Psalms, Psalms are like hymns, songs. This guy, Mr. David, when he was in his lowest, he just was singing to his king, to his lord, to his master. You can't keep down a man who has a healthy attitude. You can't. It's impossible. When he was in the backside taking care of sheep, nobody appreciating him for the hard work he was doing. He was fighting lions. He was fighting bears. His family never saw anything he was doing. But he sat there and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in good pastures. A healthy attitude. A healthy attitude. You can't keep him down. You can't keep him down. From today I see nobody can keep you down anymore. Nobody will hold you back anymore. You are a conqueror in the name of Jesus by the power of a good attitude. A good attitude. I know sometimes it's tough. One day, David, he was also became a fugitive because Saul wanted to kill him. So one day, because David was a super warrior, he was anointed to fight. You couldn't take him down. And so after fighting so many people, the children of Israel started saying, hey, Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. These were the songs that people were singing in the streets of Israel. When Saul heard it, he became jealous. And he said, people are starting to like this boy. And he wanted to kill him. And one day he ran away and stayed with the Philistines, the enemy. And one day the enemy was going to fight against Israel. And David said to the king of the Philistines, I'm going to with you to fight against my people. They allowed him. As he was going, the king of the Philistines said, no, David, you stay. Because if you go and you see your brother, you will not kill your brother. You rather turn against me and start fighting me. So David went back home. When he got back home, his wives were taken. His children were taken. His possessions were taken. The men and the soldiers that walked with David, all of them, their wives taken, their children taken. And the men started screaming and started pointing at David and said, "You are the reason why we are experiencing this." David was down. And the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. You can't keep a man with a healthy attitude down. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. What does encouraging himself in the Lord? He reminded the Bible, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He started quoting the scriptures. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Ah! He became encouraged. And he went to his father and he said, "Lord, what do we do?" And God said, "Go and get your women. Go and get your children. Go and get your possessions." And they went and fought the enemy and got everything that they had lost back. A healthy attitude. You see, when you get offended, when you get sad, it's just the demonic strategies that are trying to suppress you, because they know that if you encourage yourself in the Lord, they know that you will overcome. They know that you can overcome them. They know. So they try to keep you down by making you sad, by making you focusing on problems and why your father didn't like you and why this and why that and why that, and you forget who you are. That you have Jesus living in you. You have the Holy Ghost living in you. So don't allow the devil to confuse you and make you feel like you are the lion of the tribe of Judah is living in you. Is living in you. Paul says, "Don't you know?" You know, he could have said that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But no, he said, "Don't you know?" In other words, haven't you been told that in you lives the Holy Ghost? In you. I had a story one day, one of my favorite stories, of a man of God. He had a church of about 5 people. How many people? 5. And about 4 of them was his family members. And so he said, "Everything I tried, my church couldn't grow. No matter what I tried." So one day, when they were having, they used to have morning prayers every day, Monday to Monday at 4 a.m., they would meet to pray for about 1 hour or 2 hours. And so as they did that regularly, suddenly a woman entered the church. Are you here? So when they saw who this woman was, they were surprised, because it was a woman, it was a wife of a very well-known doctor, a specialist in the city where they were living. So they were surprised when they saw this woman walking in the church. And she was walking, she had a limp, you know. She was walking very funny. And she came to the church. And so they were praying, and they just continued praying. Then all of a sudden, this woman started laughing. That's how she laughed. It was silent, just like it's silence right now. Because people were wondering, what is going on here? So the man of God said, "Hey, woman, please behave like a lady, please." And she just went on laughing. And it was demons manifesting through this lady. And so this man of God, he was new in the ministry. He didn't know about demons and how to cast them out. So as he was praying, he finally realized that, hey, she's manifesting demons. And so she went to the woman and said, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And the demon said, "No." And he said, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And the demon said, "No." And he was starting to be afraid. Then he was saying, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And the demons in the woman started chasing the man of God. "No." Now I think it was around 4 a.m. "Come out." "No." "Come out." "No." God, I will come. Get a mic quickly. Quickly, say quickly. When I say come out, you say no. Come out. No. Ah, your mic. Fix his mic, please. Test it, brother. Test it. They don't want me to preach. Come out in Jesus' name. No. Yeah. Come out.
No.
So, 4 a.m. Come out.
No.
5 a.m. Come out.
No.
7 a.m. Come out.
No.
This is a true story. I'm not lying to you. True story. 9 a.m. Come out.
No.
12. Come out.
No.
2 p.m. Come out.
No.
By this time, they were tired. Come out.
No.
And the demons were saying, I'm going to kill you. And they were chasing him. Come out.
No.
They were tired by now. 4 p.m. Come out.
No.
Now they couldn't run anymore. Both the person who had demons was tired, and both the pastor, they were tired. And they were sitting down. Come out.
No.
And so this pastor, because he knew that this woman's husband was a well-respected person in society, when he checked the time and said, by now the husband will be coming back from work, and if this guy comes to my church and finds his wife behaving like this, come out. No, no. The pastor started being afraid. Come out.
No.
So the pastor, he cried out and said, Lord, please help me. If you don't help me now, my ministry is finished. My church is finished. Please help me. And he said, as he was praying like that, suddenly he felt energy coming from heaven. Energy. And he felt it coming into him. And when it came into him, he suddenly, the tiredness left him. He rose up and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And the demon started screaming, rolled on the ground and came out of the lady. And so she said to the lady, he said to the lady, please, please go. Your husband must find you at home. Your husband must. So the lady left. As the lady was going, and as he was still thinking about what just happened, all of a sudden the pastor had, ah! And the pastor said, oh no, this woman, she really wants to destroy my ministry. So the woman came back to the church and she said, pastor, my leg is healed. Remember when she came, she was walking funny. By that time, she was walking normally. When she realized that her legs were healed, she couldn't contain herself and just screamed. So the pastor said, go home. Your husband is coming back. The husband was so shocked when the wife was absolutely healthy. The thing went around in the neighborhood. The church that was 5, the next day it was 300. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you this story to tell you this. When the woman came back to herself, she said, pastor, I'm so sorry for my behavior. She said, I could see what was happening, but I was powerless to do anything. And she said, I heard the demons speaking to each other. And they said, oh, this pastor is a green bean. Someone say green bean. Green bean means he doesn't know anything. He's a new Johnny just come. And the demon said, let's just make sure that we hold on. We don't come out. Because the demons knew that the person living in the pastor is greater than them. So they just made a decision that we will do our best to stay. Because if he understands who he is in Christ, we have to come out. We have no choice. So they said, he's a clean bean. So all that thing, no, I'll kill you. It was just for show. The demons were just trying to scare the pastor because they knew that if he knows and understands who he is in Christ, we have no power against him. And the woman said, Pastor, all of a sudden, you started praying to your God and something changed in you. And the demons, I could hear them speaking. And they said to each other, oh no, his God is helping him now. There's nothing we can do. We have to go. That was the time where that energy came into him. And that time, because now he knew who he was in Christ, he could feel God in him. He now with authority cast out the demons and they had to go. So this is your story also. Life is like that. The devil is just trying to keep you down. But as they are trying to keep you down, he's also afraid of you. Because he knows that if you become yourself. So learn to contain a powerful attitude. Don't allow anything to weigh you down. Because if you move around in life with a very strong attitude, you will win. You will win. I said you will win. You will, your destiny, the prophecy over your life is that you have the victory. And Satan knows it. So don't allow your countenance to fall. Tell him, I said, don't allow your countenance to fall. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and give him praise. So, I want you to realize that when you get offended, when you get sad, when people come to gossip around you, it's all arrows of Satan being shot at you. Do you understand? It's arrows being shot at you. And what is the big picture? The aim is that you must not become who you are born to become. Because Satan can see your star. He can see that your destiny is great. He saw it from when you were a child. Some of us sitting here, we started having issues from when we were a child. And that is because of your destiny. That guy has been fighting you for years. Don't allow him to win. If Satan wins, you have given him the victory. Not that he overcame you. You, the one who gave up. Have a strong attitude. Have a strong attitude. Have an unbeatable attitude. Sometimes you will feel down, but remember David. And the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. Remind yourself of the scriptures that give you strength, that give you power. And then wake up and go and overcome this life in Jesus' mighty name. Rise to your feet and give the Lord some praise. Glorify him. Put your hands together for the King of Kings.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.